Lead Me Out Into the Light, written by Half a Gone and read by Flower Parish. This is a Batman and Danny Phantom crossover fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Cassandra Cain / Danny Fenton. Summary: only the dead have wings, unless you've died before and came back to life, as it turns out, in which case it may take 1 to 5 years for that to kick in, or something. Cass isn't really sure how it works either.
When the cold winds are calling and the sky is clear and bright, misty mountains sing and beckon, lead me out into the light. I will ride, I will fly, chase the wind and touch the sky. I will fly, chase the wind and touch the sky.
It was a well-known fact that only the dead had wings. Ghosts, spirits, apparitions, zombies, you name it. If they were dead, they had wings. Many religious sects both used and abused this statement of fact, but it was not until the existence of Thanagenarians came to light that scientists began to truly take notice. But the science and the politics of the matter could not change the painful, sometimes cruel, truth. Only the dead had wings. Cass knew this well. She could still remember Bruce's devastated expression the first time Jason had unveiled his onyx, raven-like wings. She could still remember how Dick had so sadly, so despondently told her, "It's okay, I know my parents are still flying somewhere." Only the dead had wings. So, why was Cass suddenly growing a pair of her own? This is incredibly unusual. Dr. Khalid Nassour, one-time wearer of the Dr. Fate helmet and among the number of doctors the Justice League employed, commented with a glint in his eyes as he studied Cass's back. She felt a touch cold due to the hospital gown she had to wear during the proceedings, although she hadn't vocalized or indicated any complaints so far. She just sent Jason a long-suffering look out of the corner of her eyes as her brother tried and failed to hide his chuckles at her expense, as she was poked and prodded, like Jason had been. "What's the problem? She's died before, hasn't she?" Jason reminded with an arched eyebrow. Cass wiggled around now that the attention was away from her. It was rather uncomfortable for a whole new set of limbs to start growing out of the blue, especially in such an unfortunate, yet sensible, area on her back. She couldn't sleep on her back these days, and the skin was extremely tender there. Tender to the point that she physically grimaced. Cass would know. She'd only touched it a million times, despite Alfred's chidings and warnings. "Yes, that might technically be true," Khalid admitted with a slight nod, "but that was some 4 years ago, was it not? You developed your wings, even after coming back to life, only a year after your death." "Dead longer," Cass said, nodding her head at Jason. "You think the period of your death changes when it grows in?" Khalid inquired. Cass shrugged. Shrugging hurt now, too. "Damien should be getting his wings soon, then," Jason snorted under his breath, only to frown. "Wait, Steph should have gotten her wings by now if that was the case." "Square one," Cass sighed, shaking her head. "I'll keep looking into it," Khalid said with a thoughtful expression on his face. "In the meantime, I suggest you stay off the field just to ensure that you don't sustain any injuries to your back. At the same time, try not to get injured in your civilian life either. I can give you some creams to put on the sensitive skin. It can be applied topically twice a day. Don't get it near your eyes." "Thanks," Cass replied once he'd given her the container. "You're not going to tell Batman about this, are you?" Jason asked the doctor cautiously. "Should I be concerned about why you're keeping this from Batman to begin with?" Khalid asked, only to receive no reply. "If that is what you want, Miss Cass, then of course I won't tell him. Even in the Justice League, patient confidentiality is important. I am not going to request you reach out to your father regardless, as I am pretty sure what response I'll get." Jason's snort was a pretty good example, too. "But do be aware that at some point, it is going to be very difficult to hide your wings." Cass bobbed her head in understanding. She did not intend to keep this secret for very long, but just for now. just a little longer. Hey, you know that means I can teach you to fly, Jason told her with an eager grin as she lounged in one of his safe houses. His wings, finally free from the magical jacket in which he hid them. Cass didn't know exactly how it worked either, but it had been a favor from Constantine, and Jason had already promised to get her one once hers grew in, and she had decided on the style she preferred, were similarly twitching with excitement and interest at the prospect. Cass did not have many experiences with those with wings, particularly those that still lived despite them. Ra's al Ghul was infamously one of such examples. Solomon Grundy was another. She did not know what qualified as death if they could still return to life while maintaining their wings. She wasn't a zombie either, not in the way Jason could technically qualify as a zombie, seeing as he had dug his way out of his own grave. She had not seen many people with wings, so she was still learning how to read emotions in this new extension of one's body. But she knew Jason. She could read Jason. She could tell how anxious he was for her, how happy he seemed to be, knowing he was no longer alone and the odd one in the family. Cass was anxious, worried. She did not know why this was happening now, but she chose not to dwell on such fears. She simply smiled at her brother and said, yes. She was looking forward to spending more time with him. It was only a matter of time before the rest of the family found out. They'd already told Alfred. There was no avoiding his oversight like one might Bruce's. Tim, Cass believed, already had his suspicions, if the occasional looks he would give her and Jason were any indication. In the end, however, Dick was the reason she had to share this revelation with the rest of the family. He'd entered the family theater, a feather in hand, asking, "Cass, did you get a bird recently or something? I found this huge feather in your room." Everyone turned to Cass at once. Jason was among them. Already, he was far more subtle about his true intentions. Cass could lie. She knew she could, but there was no point in delaying the inevitable. More so than she already had, anyways. "I have wings," she said simply. And really, she was surprised they hadn't figured it out sooner. She had been wearing a lot more hoodies and baggy clothes recently, more than a few of which she'd snatched from her brother's closets to bulk up her resources. When Jason had caught her, he'd said she was nesting. Then she'd asked if he did the same. He refused to comment. Cass was pretty sure he was full of shit. "Wait, really?" Steph exclaimed in surprise, eyes growing incredibly wide as she looked Cass up and down. The rest of the family showed varying levels of shock, incredulity, and surprise. But it was Bruce, just as Cass had anticipated, that remembered the only reason why she could have wings. She rested a hand atop his in a form of assurance. "I'm okay," she tried to convey. "Have you researched what type of bird your feathers mimic?" Damien asked after he'd snatched the feather from Dick's hand. Her youngest brother observed the feather with great interest and handled it with even more care, as if it were precious. Cass smiled to herself. "Starling." Duke whistled in amazement. "What kind?" "Common," she replied with a shrug. The pain that shrugging caused had diminished over time, and she hoped she would be able to get back into the field soon, although it would likely require a change in costume and name. It would look strange for Black Bat to have a starling's wings, after all. "Oh, those are really pretty," Tim commented, once he had searched up some images on his phone. "Their wingspans are pretty large for such small birds." "Are you happy?" Bruce asked her in a low voice, through all the rest of the chatter going on around them. Her hand was no longer resting atop his, but held gently in his palm. She didn't answer right away. She thought about all the conclusions she had come to, the concerns and fears that had come and gone. She was no closer to finding an answer for why her wings had appeared now of all times, but she was no longer desperate for an explanation. "Yes, happy," she told him, and she meant it. Inevitably, she returned to the field. Now, though, she acted as air support. It was a position she was not used to, and despite all her practice with her fully grown wings, she found herself uncertain. Jason would be with her the entire time, along with the other Justice League members that could fly and had been called to the conflict. Cass would just have to rely on their support. Her first time out as Starling, as Cass wasn't particularly picky with her vigilante name, went well enough. As well as it could, considering the fact that they had been forced to call in backups. Cass was not even aware who they had called in for support until later on, when they had all gathered together to receive and give their reports and testimony. Cass had been at Jason's side when a high-pitched, inhuman shriek rattled the air. Instinctively, everyone turned their heads toward the source. A battalion of skeleton soldiers lowered to the ground first, their wings nothing but bones. The soldiers moved in two rows, each row facing one another, before they bowed deeply, so deeply that their skulls touched the upturned dirt, and their wings splayed in reverence and obedience. Cass heard wings beating the air before she actually saw the source, and once she did, she could not help a little breathless gasp of shock. Phantom had been the backup. She had heard many things about Phantom. He might be a hero that had only recently joined the ranks of the Justice League, but his accomplishments were nothing to scoff at, especially if he was truly young, despite what many reports might say otherwise. But despite it all, Cass could not help how her line of sight was drawn to his wings. They mimicked the shape of a dove's as well as the color. They were no doubt the reason that the press had nicknamed him the Angel of Death. He looked like an angel, with his halo of white hair and the faintly glowing crown, a white gold circlet that curled delicately at his temples. And perhaps the press called him such a name because of the shock of silver metal that protected the wings, from above the tendon to the metacarpus. Sharp blades rested just above the Alula feathers, and she was certain that he'd used said razors to split more than one opponent in half. Above all, what made his wings the most impressive were the sheer size of them. They were, by far, the longest wings Cass had ever seen. She couldn't imagine what the wingspan would be, but she could easily believe Phantom could wrap them both around Superman and Batman and hide them from sight. It was astonishing. It was blindsiding. It was beautiful. So, when Phantom laid his gaze upon her, she did not flinch. His feet touched the ground as if he were floating, not flying, his wings flapping just once before he could land. Somehow, the skeleton soldiers bowed even deeper in their master's presence, a runway of bones to make his grand entrance. The beat of his wings had caused a stir of wind that swept everyone's hair out of their faces, stinging their eyes at the bitter breeze. He folded his wings back, and, to her further amazement, they smoothed out until they were nothing more than an elegant cape, draping and dragging across the ground in a pool of white silk. Phantom smirked, and his fangs were sharper than the blades that had once adorned his wings. I believe we have business to discuss. It has been a time since you died, Phantom commented to her once the meeting had ended, but before he had returned to his realm and his people. Usually, Phantom would have already left, as apparently the King found conversation tedious, Dr. Fate's words. If any of the Justice League members found his continued presence unnerving, they wisely did not express such feelings. Cass, on the other hand, found herself enamored with the strange, charismatic Sovereign. Yes, she said, nodding. Her language skills had never improved, although she was able to say broken words that typically got her point across well enough. For her family it did anyways, and that was what mattered most to her. However, she wondered if Phantom could read her too, by the movement and flutter of her wings alone. "They treat you well," Phantom inquired of her, and it took her a moment to realize he was directing the question at both the Justice League and her family. His green eyes, green like the Lazarus pits that took life just as it returned it, had strayed towards where Batman, Red Robin, and Nightwing hovered in deep conversation. Absent-mindedly, Cass wondered if he considered her one of his people, a citizen he ought to protect, someone that should have been his own but did not stay. Yes, Cass answered, her feathers prickling at the suggestion they would not. Cass had been taught extreme body control since youth, but she had not been taught how to control her wings to show no hint of emotion, no betrayal of thought. In some ways, Cass didn't mind. She appreciated a new way of expressing herself. Phantom smiled. It was a soft one, nothing like the bare-fang smirk he had offered at his entrance. "Good," he said with a nod of his own, decisive and sure. He believed her, wholeheartedly. "Be well, starling." He did not stay for a moment longer. Phantom crouched down slightly, his silk cape defying gravity as it levitated into the air above his head. It split in two and morphed into those unforgettable white wings, and with a single beat, Phantom was shooting up into the sky like a rocket. He brought a ruckus of wind with him, once again whipping everyone's hair around wildly. The rattle of bones indicated that his skeleton soldiers had left along with him, but Cass did not watch the rest of his party leave. She found her gaze fixated on Phantom alone. She wondered when she might see him again. "Miss Cassandra, there is someone at the door who wishes to speak with you." Alfred's voice floated down the hall, piquing Cass's curiosity. She did not get many visitors, even more now that her wings had grown in, and they had been forced to hide those in her civilian identity. But Cass liked to have her wings out at home, which unfortunately meant that she did not have her special jacket hiding them right now. But she peeked around the corner to snatch a glimpse at the front door, just to see who was there. It was a messenger, with glowing orange eyes and deep violet skin and a pair of beautiful, glassy fairy wings. Huh. One of Phantom's servants, then? She shuffled toward Alfred, her wings on full display, as she figured that there was no reason to hide them in front of the bard. "You are Cassandra Wayne, yes? Known as the Vigilante Starling?" the bard inquired to her, to which she nodded. And then, without further ado, the bard rolled open a scroll and announced, "His Majesty, High King of the Infinite Realms, Daniel Phantom." And since when did Phantom have a first name? "Wishes to invite the Lady Cassandra of House Wayne," ooh, fancy, "to an intimate meal in his home. What shall your response be?" "You got a date with a king?" Jason deadpanned in shock. "High King, to be precise," Tim muttered to their brother, nudging him with an elbow. Cassandra tapped her chin in thought. She had wanted to see Phantom again, certainly, but this took her a bit by surprise, although it did explain why he had approached her that day. Perhaps he had been taken by her. That sounded conceited, but he was essentially asking her out on a date now, even if he had gone about it rather ceremoniously. "Except," Cass told the messenger in broken English, "when." "The date can be set upon your choosing," the messenger informed her, and that was a lot more leeway than Cass had been expecting. She thought about it some more. "Tomorrow night." Dick made a surprised noise somewhere behind her, but Cass didn't bother to look and check his expression. She could already imagine it herself. "Excellent," the messenger said as he clapped. The scroll snapped shut at once. "His Majesty's most loyal guard, the Fright Knight, shall fetch you at 5 past high noon. So, basically 5 o'clock. Cass really didn't like all this fancy talk. She hoped her whole evening would not be full of it. "Do be ready before then. Gracious thanks for your time, Lady Cassandra." And then the messenger was off. Once the door had closed, Cass realized something. She turned to Steph, who sighed. "You don't have any dresses for this, do you?" Cass shook her head. "Shopping trip," Steph cheered. Cass didn't end up wearing a dress. She knew she would likely be flying to the location of her date, so she wore high-waisted, fancily embroidered pants with a draping top with long sleeves to stave away the cold and to spruce up the look. Jason had been a surprising help in picking out her clothes, although she could tell he was rather intrigued by the idea of witnessing Phantom court Cass, even if he was displeased to have his sister being courted at all. It was a very interesting dilemma to watch Jason undergo, Cass could not deny. When the time came, Fright Knight arrived at the manor doors just as Cass had been told. She had only heard about the knight in passing, but he was much larger in life. His wings reminded her strongly of dragons, wide and leathery and as black as the night. The underwing had hints of purple, however, that Cass was sure Steph would appreciate. Fright Knight did not speak more than necessary, which Cass could relate to in a strange way. After she said her goodbyes to her family for the evening, and they gave her well wishes, Cass followed dutifully after Fright Night. She didn't know exactly where they were going, but she was astonished to find that they were headed towards none other than the Bermuda Triangle. It was only once they'd passed through the northern tip, cutting through some thick storm clouds, that she realized the truth. Once the clouds had cleared and the rain had passed, they'd arrived in the Infinite Realms. The sky was a startling green and purple, and the ground was much the same. They passed rivers and valleys that were painted purple and blue, respectively, and the shock of color dizzied Cass more than a little. It was an adjustment for sure. Eventually, they approached a castle, which Cass could only assume to be Phantom's residence. Only, instead of landing, Fright Night veered to the left and brought her further out into the realm. She did not know for how long they flew before they approached a massive forest, with trees that imitated those in the mortal realm. And amongst the splatter of trees was a lone house, decent in size but nothing like the castle they had passed or even Wayne Manor. It looked like Phantom wasn't interested in grand palaces either. Fright Night left her there, though he informed her he would be lingering in the air to ensure nothing untoward occurred. Cass didn't bother dissecting those words. The door opened for her, and instead of seeing Phantom in his kingly garb and a crown adorning his head, she found a man with his face but not. Black hair, blue eyes, no wings in sight. "Hi," he said timidly. It was Phantom's voice, although without the tone he always carried with him, the one that commanded attention and obedience. "I'm Danny." "Danny. Daniel Phantom." Cass smiled. "Cass." This would be a good evening, Cass was sure. Cass was surprised by how quickly he explained his Haffa status to her. It was a secret he guarded jealously, as far as she could tell, but at their very first date he had offered it so easily. But perhaps it was the quiet understanding they had shared with one another, even from the start, that had pushed him to be honest with her. Cass had appreciated such trust regardless. Rather than have Fright Night escort her home, Danny had promised to do so himself. However, this prompted a question of its own. "Wings?" she inquired, cocking her head to the side. "I have wings in this form too," Danny explained to her, "but I tend not to bring them out. Now that my wings are so big, they can be a little awkward to walk around with. Thankfully, my shapeshifting allows me to hide them away." "Not always," Cass asked this time. "Were they always this big?" Danny asked in clarification. Cass nodded. "No, they weren't. Before, my wings were, well, they were more like a pigeon's." Danny blushed faintly at the admission, but Cass found the image more endearing than embarrassing. "But after I became king, my wings started to grow. It's a normal thing, apparently. More powers means new wings, yada yada yada." Danny waved a hand dismissively. A stranger might have thought such a gesture was a dismissal of his responsibility. Cass, in many ways, was still a stranger. But even she had seen the care with which he handled his duty as king. He did not enjoy such responsibilities, but he took them upon his shoulders regardless. "We should leave now," he told her with a small smile. "If we're fast, we can catch the sunset." They were fast, almost too fast. Danny didn't lead her back to where Fright Night had first taken her, but rather toward a secret exit out of the Infinite Realms. They passed through a similar storm of clouds before they miraculously returned to the mortal realm. Cass had to wonder how many more secret exits or entrances there were to the Infinite Realms and back. She couldn't see how anyone had ever called the denizens of the Infinite Realms inherently monstrous when they had been coming and going as they pleased for millennia. The sun had yet to touch the horizon, but there was still time before they would reach Gotham City and Wayne Manor alongside it. This was unspoken between them as they swayed and let the wind lift them up into the air. The sea far below them reflected a dazzling display of purples and oranges and pinks as the sun finally began to set, and, more than once, Cass found herself fixated on the splash of the waves below. She did not fly recreationally often, both to protect her identity and because of a lack of free time. She'd have to do it more often. She was pretty sure she could get Jason on board. The flap of Danny's wings behind her caught her attention. In this form, Danny's wings were not saintly white, but a rich, pure black, matching the raven color of his hair. But they were just as large, and the shadow he left behind could intimidate even the most courageous of men. Yet, Cass did not see the fear or the prowess, but how effortlessly he flapped them, how he let the wind carry him, how he let the streams guide him. He let nature guide him in this form. Cass saw the beauty rather than the terror he left in his wake. Instinctively, she tried to mimic the way he moved. She followed the sway of his body as he leaned into one curve or another. And when she had to beat her wings a little harder to catch up, he let himself fall back so that they flew together. One atop and one below, interchanging as they shifted direction, or the winds took them somewhere new. They did not speak, but there was contentment in their silence. It was only when Cass had taken up her position above him that she realized what they were doing. They were flying in synchronization, a form of mating. She tried to keep down her blush at the realization. The sting of the cold breeze certainly helped. At one point, she pulled away from him to land on a little craggy rock somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, somewhere far off the coast of New Jersey. She was pretty sure it wasn't always here, but she would take advantage of it. Her stamina was rather good, despite not having such large wings, but she did not stop to regain her breath or because she was tiring out. She wanted to watch the sun dip under the horizon, painting the sky in hues of purple and red. Danny arrived soon after her, if the flap of his wings were any indication. She turned to watch him touch down, and in her private opinion, it was this form that truly screamed out to her as the angel of death, not his phantom form. His stark black feathers and stark black hair, only cut out by the faint glow of his blue eyes. In this way, he encapsulated the notion of death, a black hole that you could not rip your gaze from. He padded up to her side, smiling at her softly. But they returned their attention to the sunset, watched as the sky steadily but surely darkened until it was filled with glittering stars. When the breeze picked up, Danny outstretched his wing to shield her from the sting. And it was little details like those that warmed Cass's heart. "When?" Cass asked this time. "When can we see each other again?" Danny inquired. Cass nodded her head. "Whenever you feel like it," he informed her. The next time they lifted up into the sky, Cass took the lead, and her wings matched the sky above, glittering like starlight. The dead might have wings, but Cass had never felt more alive. The end.